if you fix the internal stuff first, that would just increase the bottom line.
Just taking, you know, like a $1 million company, if we go from 50% booking to 55, and then we go from tech conversion of 60 to 65, and an average ticket that we raise 5 or 10% because we just raised our pricing. Just doing those things, I've not spent another dime on any marketing avenue. And the revenue over the course of a year is usually in the hundreds of thousands for a company that size. If you're bigger, it's millions.
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros, the show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
All right, Joshua Crouch, from CEO of Relentless Digital. Thanks for joining the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Super excited to talk to you, right? I've followed your work for a little bit of time now. I know we met through a mutual friend, and we just want to get your opinion and insights on a lot of different things. I think we're going to get into some really good stuff about, you know, marketing, AI, automation, and it's going to help, I think, our clients, our audience understand how that's impacting today's industry, right? Especially in 2025 and 26. So let's get into it. One of the things that you mentioned, right, is that contractors do not need more leads, right? They need a process, right? They need to fix their follow-up. Why do you believe that's like the first level that they should?
That's a great first question. There's a lot to unpack there. I'll give you a quick story, because this literally happened. I was at Service Titan, their event last week, Pantheon. And we were in line checking into the hotel, and I had, it was a plumbing client who reached out. They're struggling. And so their Service Titan account says that they book, their CSRs book at 70 to 75% every month. Well, our team does call tagging. So we break it down from call to qualified lead to whether they booked the appointment or not. And our booking rates were somewhere between 29 and 42% for the last 3 months. And then they need more leads. They're not closing enough. They don't have enough opportunity. Well, they're not even getting in the home as the first barrier of entry, right? There's a lot of things that go into that. But then that's the first drop-off point. And then the second drop-off point, because there's no company I've ever ran into where the technicians converted 100%. Some, that's usually 60, 70, sometimes 75, 80%. So there's another drop-off point. And then if your pricing's not right, you're not profitable, you're not making enough money to cover all the overhead for those lost opportunities, it just becomes this vicious cycle of not making enough revenue, and these companies, that's why they're not profitable. And on top of that, if they're not following up with the leads that they go in, maybe they don't close it then, but they have an open estimate, they don't close it on the spot, or they don't have things like missed call text back, web form submission text back, Angie lead, wherever you're getting leads from, have a system where you are getting in front of those opportunities immediately. Because even though most people don't think they miss calls, we go back because we have someone listening to them. The average is 15 to 17%. And that's been very consistent for a long time. And some months that's 30, 40, 50, 60,000 calls we're monitoring. So 15 to 17% of that number are missed, where nobody even picked up the phone. And a lot of times those really high demand months, especially with our primary trade that we serve as HVAC, those people are looking, they're going to the next person on the list. They're calling someone else. They're not going to give you another opportunity. So it's just a lot of missed opportunities. So dialing in your operations. And I had the fortunate experience of being both the marketing person at an HVAC company and as part of the operations team. So I saw what happened when we took care of the internal stuff and how that focus, and our marketing spend was so much lower than our competitors because we didn't have to spend that much money because everything was getting dialed in. And we just created a really nice ecosystem there. We're always following up with things. There's just a great ecosystem. The problem is it's always easier to say I need more leads than to focus internally. It's just like we can diagnose somebody that's like, oh, that person's an a-hole. They got to work on being a better person. But and, you know, instead of us focused on ourselves and pointing the finger at ourselves, it's very easy for us to be, oh, that person's got that problem. Instead of like, no, I fix what I got to fix for me. And I think a lot of times it's just easier to call out someone else and their failures versus our own.
And that's a very common challenge in the trades. honestly, these guys, a lot of these guys are lead zombies, right? They just want leads right away.
They want the next overtime, golden ticket.
The next golden ticket.
Yep.
And exactly what you said is right. If you fix the internal stuff first, right, just kind of fix that aspect first and getting from your client, you said from 29% to even 50% CSR rate, that would just increase the bottom line, right?
Without spending every possible fund. And that's the thing. Just taking, and I've posted some stuff on this, just taking, you know, like $1 million company or, you know, like round numbers. If we go from 50% booking to 55, and then we go from tech conversion of 60 to 65, and an average ticket that we raise 5 or 10% because we just raised our pricing, just doing those things, I've not spent another dime on any marketing avenue. And the revenue over the course of a year is usually in the hundreds of thousands for a company that size. If you're bigger, it's millions. We're talking, Lace is an AI call analysis tool. They're a partner and sponsor of our podcast, Service Business Mastery. But I was talking to the founder last year at an event, and they're working with Tommy Mello, which most people that listen to probably know. Tommy Mello is a founder of A1 Garage Door Service. They're in like 30 different states, and they're a $250, $300 million company. Horace told me that Tommy knew if they increased their booking rate by 1%, it was an extra $2.4 million to their bottom line. Now, granted, that's a much bigger example, but if we take that down to where most of the rest of us live, that's still a lot of money. And all we have to do is just book more calls or sell more jobs while we're there. But the other problem I see is that, especially because our second biggest vertical is plumbers, and plumbing has had a tough time this year. And I think it's, even though the stock market looks great on paper, the economy has just been in a weird spot. Yeah, homeowners are 100%. Not spending like they were during the COVID and post-COVID years. And so a lot of people are trying to DIY the plumbing stuff. But then we have these barriers to entry, right? They call and we have a $99 service fee. And our coach told us we got to charge that service fee. You're not making a profit on that service fee anyways. So if that's the barrier to entry and that is the number one objection that you guys are getting on the phone, why are we not thinking about reducing that or waiving it? Because in order for us to get a $600,000, $2,000, $3,000 job, we have to get in the home. And if we don't do that, nothing else matters. So whether it's a $99 fee, a $19 fee, a $199 fee, it doesn't matter because it's not going to make us a profit. So some of that stuff is that sometimes I feel like in the marketing world, we're also business coaches and trying to help clients see things that maybe they don't quite see. With, you know, almost like they have horse blinders on with what they, but we see what 150 different clients are doing, plus what the industry and where they're moving, and we can kind of guide them a little bit that way.
Yeah, that's exactly, I want to get into that actually later in the conversation, but that's actually something I've seen myself. Been doing this company for 8 years and working with a ton of clients, and I found that it's necessary as a digital marketing owner business that we consult our clients on what the things they need to do on their end for them to be successful with our services, right? And that's kind of
partnership.
Yeah,
partnership. That's the term we use. Sometimes I think clients hire marketing agencies and they treat them like employees versus a partner, and there's a missing value piece there because marketing agencies have so much data that they can share, and contractors don't necessarily have access to all that data. They only have their data, and if you work well together, meaning show up for the monthly meetings and actually have team members that can speak strategy, there's a lot of power in that.
Okay. You talked about getting the lead, right? Fixing the inbound, right? What do you recommend in terms of follow-up? Like you said, I heard you say before, 17 to 14 days, 14 days of persistent follow-up. What does it look like in practice without really annoying the customer?
Yeah, it's like, you know, when people are struggling, they say they're slow. It's amazing to me how many business owners don't want to reach out to their existing customers. Like they'll drag their feet when we offer some sort of outbound campaign, or they just, I don't want to bug my customers. I hear that a lot. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, do you want to grow your business and feed your family and feed your team and keep them busy? You know, you have it both ways. It's never 100% throughout the year. We're just busy. We have to create our own demand sometimes. And something that contractors can do is really focus on their tune-up, maintenance, inspection process. And this goes for just about every trade. Now, some of that looks a little different, right? Because HVAC is really easy. Nobody wants to touch the electrical box that's in the attic or basement. It's got wires. It's scary. It's like, I don't want to touch that. There's cobwebs on it. Plumbing, people feel like they can touch it because it's a pipe. But even still, there's things that, like, normally we don't say yes to those offers when we get them, but we had a local plumbing, not a client, but just a local plumber. We must have hired them for HVAC at some point because they had us on our list. And they see this value because they opened up a plumbing division and they stacked the value so much in the offer that we let them in the house to do a full whole home plumbing inspection, water heater flush. They did a couple other things. They checked a bunch of drains and stuff. And they had some options for us, but our house is only about 2 years old, so they didn't really have much for us to do. But it was almost a no-brainer. It's like saying no to this would almost sound stupid because it was like $79 and they're going to do all this stuff and check everything. And for me, I've always been like, follow up until they say no or unsubscribe.
Yeah. Let's unpack
that. It's not like you're trying to be a about it.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, I need you to make a decision. No, it's, you just kind of, you, the way you follow up is education. You're nurturing them. You're just getting them closer to making a decision. You're making them realize that you are the premier provider. And now with tools, we talk about AI, like with ChatGPT, you don't have to be a wordsmith to write a good email. You just need to have the idea. You need to know how to use a tool, and that can come up with an email or a text message for you.
Yeah. So you have a inbound, right, where you have consistent follow-up through, you know, probably through a system like maybe Go High Level. And then you send like about 7 to 14 days of email, text. And then obviously it's going to be different for each client, right? It's going to be different for each client depending on, you know, the area, the time of the year, all that stuff, maybe like the type of business they're in. And that obviously is a very important piece, right? On actually converting more of those inbound leads into opportunities. That's the whole premise of that, right? I want to talk exactly what you just said. Can you unpack that offer they made? So obviously they reach out to you, right? They created something that's very enticing, even though you probably didn't need it. That got
we
them
definitely weren't thinking about doing it. That's for sure.
And then, yeah, what was the offer? What made you make a decision on that?
Yeah, I wish I had it pulled up. But essentially, it's just the value with, and by stacking value means for a lower price to get in the door, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And X, Y, and Z can look different for any company, but you have to have a process in order to do this, right? Like if you just come in and you're just going to check one thing, they're going to realize that you're full of it. But if I'm a plumber, I'm doing a water heater flush, I'm checking all the drains, I'm maybe doing a water pressure test. Just to make, because I think our water pressure was a little high. There's other things that you can do in there too. It just really depends on, you know, check all the different like angle valves and stuff to see if there's any leaking. HVAC is really easy. You can do like a, depending on the market, you can do a tune-up, a duct inspection, an airflow test, an air quality test. Like you can do all of these things, but you have a process for it. If you're just making it up just to get in the home, I recommend that. You know, one of our core values here is lead with integrity. I wouldn't recommend doing that just because it takes one person to ruin your reputation online. But just focus on it. Put a little time and effort. Like, hey, what do you do in your normal tune-up process? Cool. Let's just put that out in a way where we can explain it to the homeowner of why that's important. Like one of the things that really caught me on the plumbing one was something about the, yeah, I'm not in the plumbing industry, so I don't know all the terms, but I think it was like the angle valve. And it said, it's the number one source of leaks when you travel. And I was like, cool, we travel a lot. Let's make sure that it's not leaking so we don't come back with a flooded house. It's just one of those things that kind of hit you. And I was like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it was $79. I think they gave the quote for $600 for something for the water pressure. My wife didn't end up moving forward with it, but either way, it got them an opportunity that they would not have had otherwise. And I think that's the important piece. You will run through some of these where you're not going to get much, but it only takes a few of these. And all of a sudden, you get a ton of opportunity. Like we did this for a HVAC company in Florida two weeks ago. Like 2,600 clients that they had not seen this summer. And I think they booked 83 tune-ups. So 3 or 4% conversion rate, which isn't bad because most of these people they haven't seen in over a year anyways. But just by going into their list, found 83 opportunities for their team. And their team usually does a pretty good job when they're in the home. And it literally, he was messaging me. He's like, can you train my team on how to do this so we can just do this whenever we want? Because we the campaign and built it for them. So I sent him a training video on it, but it was like a light bulb moment went off for me. He's like, I need to be able to do this anytime I need work with whatever list I want to do it. And the light bulb goes off usually when you see just a little of success. You're like, oh, I don't have to wait for the phone to ring. I can go make the phone.
Yeah. And this is we call it like, it can be a district reactivation campaign. That's kind of the thing you can talk about. Many industries do it. We've done it before in the roofing space. But it's important. You basically use that as a way to, it's a simple lever to pull, right? And then it can bring a lot of money without actually spending a lot of money on marketing. That's kind of the thing that you have to understand. It's a simple way to kind of generate revenue without actually spending money on marketing. So it's 24 people you reached out to and then booked 83 jobs from that. That's amazing.
Yeah, we haven't been the greatest at creating case studies. I just happened to run this one. I ran point on this one, so I made sure to track it properly. But we did one, it was like April 2 years ago, so 2.5 years ago now, that we did. There's like a list of 5,000 people. It was like just a $49 AC tune-up. We didn't even value stack that one. It was literally the most basic offer ever. They booked like 280 tune-ups, and they sold $300,000 worth of, between installs, service work, $300,000. And that was during a slow month before it got busy. And actually, I went back after their summer, because they're in Oklahoma, so it's a very AC-dependent market. And some of their months, like June, July, which generally for HVAC is like, those are the months where you make much more, you make a bigger percentage of the annual revenue than you do the rest of the year. Their April, because of the tune-ups and because of the other stuff that filled that gap, was almost as big as their June and July. And it just kind of changes their perception of like what they should be doing and what they should be focused on ever since that point. Now, as soon as they get slow, they're hitting us up like, hey, we need to run a campaign. We need to run it. And they're just on it. They know what to want because they've seen the results. But too many people are just afraid of their customers. They want to either hear that someone screwed up or they had a bad experience, or they don't want to see someone unsubscribe from the list. And I'm like, it's like, what I think it's a Wayne Gretzky quote, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
And it's as true as possible as in business. If you don't even attempt, you're not going to get it. So you might as well try.
Yeah. And what system did you use to send those messages?
So we've labeled high level. We call it our Bullseye Pro, and we got it connected with our Zapier account and a whole bunch of different automated.
You have your own workflows built in. So basically what they did is they have their own workflows created for that customer, right?
Yeah, and they all got their own folder with their own workflows and stuff.
Got it. And then basically that simple, it doesn't, for the client too, it doesn't cost a lot of money to just basically the messaging, right? And whatever if you're charging money.
We usually eat that, like the text message. Yeah. We just eat that because it's up when you got a bunch of clients doing it, but it's not to the point where it's like, I'd rather keep them busy and have a pull, if you will, so that way they can stay busy. Because SEO, PPC, Facebook, none of this stuff is going to fill your schedule 100% of the time. There's always going to be just lulls, depending on, like, September is typically a lull for plumbers because back to school. For whatever reason, it just slows down, and then it picks back up towards Thanksgiving and before Christmas. And HVAC obviously has got seasonality with weather. Electrical is pretty steady, but there's just, you got to pull a lever to keep the.
How would you schedule that for the year? Like, how would you recommend if I'm a HVAC company and I'm hiring you for the next 12 months, I want to have that basically database reactivation campaign. Would you recommend to do it twice a year, once a year? Well, how would you do that?
Well, for like tune-ups and inspections, probably twice a year. I would do preseason and postseason. Or if you're in the north, like up where I used to live in Wisconsin, I would do spring and fall because then you're changing over to heating season. But I would also have things like, you know, we're coming up we're recording this about a week before the end of the quarter. Anything from the last 3 months, I would go back to any open opportunity in my system, meaning any open estimates. Offer a discount to move forward, something, because they're just sitting there. I'd rather close them out, even if we lost them, than just have them pile up and sit there and not know if they actually move forward with the work. So we typically will do something like, hey, let's just take, they haven't said yes yet, so you might as well just try to offer a discount to get them to move forward, even if it's break even, especially if you're slow. Otherwise, review campaigns are great. You know, go back to all the customers that you served over the last quarter, and if they left a Google review already, come for a review on Facebook, Better Business Bureau, Nextdoor, somewhere else, because those gets into like deeper level search stuff with AI search and ChatGPT and all that stuff. Yeah. These other platforms are still important and they're actually growing in importance versus dying.
Yeah, exactly.
Go get a review from Google. If you don't get one from Google, get one from somewhere else because they already left you one. And I think those, they're so low hanging fruit. These people already paid you. So you might as well just go ask. Yeah. The worst they can do is say no or ignore you.
Yeah. And let's talk about that. Like Google Business Profiles. I've seen some of your content. It's very good content on that. A lot of webinars, a lot of YouTube videos on that. What do you think are the biggest opportunities that contractors are missing on Google Business Profiles?
I would say, well, it's dependent. Like, so we have a lot of clients that have more than one trade. So HVAC and plumbing, plumbing and electrical, things like that. So having multiple listings, because I think there's a big misunderstanding where if I have one Google listing, but I have three trades, I can rank for all three. And it's just not the case. You might be able to rank just a little bit for the way your secondary categories, like if you're an HVAC company primarily and plumbing, electrical or secondary, but you're never going to get the full value. You're never really going to be able to grow that department except for spend money on ads or LSA or something like that. Or have a really good internal process to sell someone that hired you for HVAC the other services. So that's one thing that a lot of our clients really like is ability to have strategy to not have to go spend a ton of money on Google ads or Facebook ads, but we can grow them in another market that they want. Because a lot of people set up their business, they're in a rural area because it's affordable. They got an office location, but like we had a plumber, different plumber, that we were on a call 2 weeks. I wasn't on the call, my wife was. We asked him like, well, do you want clients around here? And they're like, no. Well, that's a problem. Like you're only gonna rank in this area. So we got to move or we got to get another location so that way we can actually get the customers you want. And the reason they didn't want the customers there is it's lower income. They couldn't pay for their services. So strategically, there's some things there that are low-hanging fruits. And a lot of people just don't even know that they're kind of up against the algorithm. They're working against the algorithm versus with it. Service area businesses is a great one, especially for smaller contractors. They get with their house address and then they hide the address because they're told they have to, which they do, but then they don't rank well because Google hates SABs. I don't know why they just do. They get suspended way more frequently, even though you're hiding the address, and then they just don't rank for much.
Yeah.
I would say those are the biggest opportunities, just strategically making sure you're in the area you want more business in.
Yeah. And so if you're a multi-trade contractor, you recommend having multiple Google Business Profiles for each trade and then building out the reviews.
If you want to grow
for each one. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if it's something where it's like plumbing's 10% of your business or something, and you're just like, it's good enough. We got one plumber to keep busy. But if you want to grow the trade, yes, I would definitely recommend getting a second or an additional location.
Yeah. This is like a very, you know, common question, but like it's important because I want you to explain, because I know it's important. Our audience hears it. How important are reviews, obviously, to Google Business Profiles, and how does that impact local SEO?
Obviously, they're important, right? But I think what is missing is people get the reviews on Google, and that's it. And what I mean by that, so we talked about getting reviews in other places. I'm not necessarily talking about that right now, but that isn't still a good idea. Take Google reviews and turn those into content pieces everywhere else, because a lot of people find you outside of, they see a video, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, if you're in commercial, or you just have a lot of business owners that are active in LinkedIn in your market. There's a lot of ways, but people don't take the content that they already have and repurpose it. Same thing goes for like job data in your CRM. Those are Google Business Profile posts. Those are blog posts. Those are emails. Those are all kinds of social. I mean, you can take that and now today take the content from inside of a job summary through a ChatGPT filter or a prompt, a video. It can be an AI avatar. It doesn't even have to be you. And you can create, hey, this is we were called out there. This was the problem when we got on site. This is how we fixed the problem. And this person was located here. Or this is the outcome. Like you can do a 3 or 4 step thing and it creates really good content. And now you don't have to be like, what do I want to create a video about today? Or what do I want to post about? Or how can I help my marketing company? There's just so much stuff that is just low-hanging fruit that contractors don't have to worry about. You already have the data. You already have the content. You just need to fine tune it so you can use it. And some of that stuff we do clients, some of that stuff we do as part of Trade Automation Pros, which is another business I own, is where we teach people how to do this stuff because it's just an epidemic. Like I hate when I hear clients are slow and then I go to their social media profiles and I see like two posts in the last 6 weeks. Help me help you. Like there, you should be doing more. Like if you're that slow, post every day, post on your personal profile, post on your business page. Let's pick up the phone. Let's start calling people. Let's be proactive so we don't always have to wait and stare at the phone and be like, huh, man, is this thing on? Does this work? Like, I don't know if this thing actually works anymore. So there's just so many things that people can do, but that's as far as content and repurposing that content, I think is such a thing for people to do.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. That's a great idea for people to listen. So repurposing your social media, your reviews, and repurposing them, repurposing different platforms.
Well, the best part is you can automate it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to. You can automate it. And once you automate it, it literally just posts, period. Like you don't have to do anything. And how I found this is I started playing around with Zapier in like 2018. It's not quite what it is today, but it was a light bulb moment. The first thing I did was take new Google reviews. That was the first automation I ever set up, was take new Google reviews. And I tried to reply to the 5-star reviews with no comments. So like they just left a 5-star review because I had to reply to those as soon as they came in. And I hated trying to figure out a different way to say the same thing over and over again. I'm like, this is such a waste of time. I know I just need to reply to it. I don't want to think about replying because I have other important things to do. So then I started there and then it's like, oh, what else can I do with the review? And then I started sharing them. And if you go to, but you'd have to go back a little bit because I haven't been to that company for a few years now, but literally like every day there was reviews being posted. And what happened is one, we grew on Google Maps because we got the reviews, but two, we started getting a lot of recommendations on local Facebook groups, Nextdoor communities, just other places that people hang out digitally. We would have people that, because we constantly were thrown out in the world that we do 5-star work, people that didn't even use us would start recommending us because everyone wants in those local groups, they all want to like be helpful. Some local groups, some are just want to like tear people apart. But like Reddit communities are a good where people just kind of go bash people. But it carries over into other platforms. So we took one thing that we were doing really well, and now we made multiple platforms do really well for us. And we started getting leads from all sorts of different places. And it just became a super valuable thing. And it's something I've carried through from that experience of like, we need to do this for clients. Like, let's repurpose all of this stuff for them because it just makes sense.
Yeah. So you just described an automation, right? You talked about how contractors don't need more AI, they need more automation. Can you explain the difference between automation and how that matters more than actually AI?
You know, before I do that, so I had AHR Expo, which is a big heating and air conditioning expo that we usually do a breakout at. We had two, I did one for myself, which I was talking about marketing automation. I didn't use the buzzword in the title and my room did not fill up. The other one, which I did with my podcast co-host and co-owner of Trade Automation Pros, we had AI in the title and all of a sudden the room's packed. So AI is the buzzword, but what people really want, because AI, you still have to copy paste, you move data, you have to still do the thing. Like if you create a blog post or a social media post, you still have to copy it, maybe tweak it a little bit, edit it, find a picture, then post it. And it doesn't really save as much time as you think. It does save some time, but not like, it's not to the point where it's like, it's just happening. Automation is, this is how vehicle gets put together where there's very few people on the assembly line, is it just happens. And it just keeps happening until the automation breaks. And so, I mean, we automate. The last time I looked when I was updating my slides, somewhere between 100 and 120,000 tasks a month. Now, that's not all for relentless. It's for clients, too, with some of the different workflows we have. But still, if you took 3 seconds or 5 seconds per task, we're saving hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours per month. And those are just on simple tasks. Some are a little bit more complex that save us a lot more time. But automation is 100% every company should be focused on how they can automate redundant, monotonous tasks.
What are some examples that you use for your clients that can help other clients?
Some of the ones that we mentioned. repurposing for social media. Another good use case is, you know, like web forms that come in. A lot of times web form comes in, we have to try to answer it in the email. And then we have to, you know, if they're ready to book an appointment, we have to copy paste their information into our CRM, just little monotonous, tedious things. One that is taking web form submissions or anything that comes through like a Angie or Thumbtack lead. See if the message, we take it through a ChatGPT prompt. So take this message, put it through a prompt. This is the type of company we are. Is this a lead? Yes or no? If yes, it puts it into their CRM. So that way they don't have to redo that later. And it sends them the first initial touch point, the first initial text message or email. If no, it just filters it out and we don't do anything with it. So that way we don't get a bunch of really bad information inside of their House Call Pro, Jobber, Service Titan account. That's like an easy low-hanging fruit one. Other things, some things more complex. Like I shared one, especially if contractors have a lot of photos and they organize these photos where ChatGPT can analyze the image, then it can update the XIF of the image. Then the next step, another ChatGPT prompt to give it a file name based on the image analysis and then re-put that into Google Drive. And I did that for us because we get a lot of photos every month. And sometimes our web team doesn't quite know what's in the photo. So this way it's a little bit more organized. So if we write a new blog post, service page or whatever, it's easy for us to find the right photo, or if we're doing a Google Business Profile post. So that way the photo and the content match. And then of course we get the SEO value of having a optimized file name and EXIF data. But just little things like that can save so much time and make performance better.
Yeah, love that. Love that. That's awesome. That's awesome stuff. Contractors, right? A lot of them are not the most tech savvy. Sometimes they can be overwhelmed with tech stacks. Where do you think they should start, just by like simplifying things?
Yeah, and so this is how Pros was born. Was Tersh and I both have been using Zapier for 7-8 years now. We have a lot of questions about it. Every time we share about it, people are like, oh, "How can I do this? Or how can I do that?" Or my favorite when people are like, yes, I need that in my life. And I say, okay, well, what else do you want to automate? And then they come back and, well, what can I automate? And they're like, I don't know. And it's just like this yo-yo game of, you can automate a lot, but I don't know what tools you use. And I don't know if it's actually going to solve a problem for your business. It might just be something that's kind of irrelevant and you're just kind of wasting your time on. And we realized that there was kind of a hole in the market there. So no, probably didn't need to start another business. We did. Right now it's more of like a DIY like course, if you will, of here's Zapier, here's how to look for opportunities, we put a bunch of templates and stuff in there because we share them on Facebook groups and people are like, yeah, I want that one, yeah, but they don't know what the steps to do, so we put the step by step inside of there. And it's $97 a month, or you can go to our free Facebook groups and look at the templates and try to, you know, figure it out from there. But the biggest thing is just start. And if you really have no aptitude for it, find someone internally, an administrator, a VA, virtual assistant, somebody that does have the experience. We've had a couple people inside the school group that hired VAs. They'll tag them in posts and be like, I want this one. Go ahead and set it up. It's like they just send them a task of, hey, create this one for me. And they've had amazing success with it. So it's just about putting an emphasis on it, because there's so much waste inside of these businesses, all businesses, not trades, but there's so much. Three people are touching a piece of paper. Like, we can streamline that entire thing. So one person touches it and it's 5 minutes and they're done, versus having to, hey, I'm done with this. Here's that folder. And everyone's passing the folder around like a job folder. It's just, there's so many better ways to do that today.
Awesome. But what are some examples that you have, some templates that people can use? They're just curious about that. What are some that can help contractors away? It's not $97 a month. It's not a lot of money, but I'm sure they can pay for it. But just curious what kind of templates you built out.
Yeah, I would say one that I haven't already mentioned, some of the other stuff that we talked about with follow-ups and repurposing content, would be that usually most people want to see it in action, is like a new job close, like a big job, one that we need multiple things done. Like, and I'll use an HVAC example because that's what I know best. let's say we're going to replace a system for somebody. So as soon as that happens in their CRM, it triggers to create a, and I'll use Trello as an example because Trello is pretty easy for most people to use, but it creates a, what's like a Kanban. It's like to do, doing, done. And you can discard, but inside of that card, it's got a checklist of things that need to get done. We need to file the permit. We need to register the warranty. We need to order the equipment. We need to schedule the job. We need to do all these things. And that way, all the communication for your company can happen right there. And then when certain things are closed, like if all the checklist items are closed, Trello has their own automations where it can automatically move that card from doing to done. So as the business owner, as you start to grow and scale, or if you're still in the field or you're on vacation, you just want to see where everything's at. It's really easy for you to see where everything's at versus trying to go in your CRM. Oh, who's that customer again? Hey, John, what's that job? Did we get the equipment ordered? All these different things. So that one's pretty popular where people are like, yeah, I really need that because their install or their big job process is just very tedious. I mean, you can even, if you got your price book dialed in with these big jobs, whether it's roofing or water heaters or electrical panels, you can draft an email to your supplier to get the stuff ordered. Obviously, I would look it over just to make sure everything's good. But if it, your price book's got information in it, you could take that information for your price book, draft an email, and send it to the supplier right away. And that way, again, one less step to order equipment, and you don't have to, did I send them an email or did I call that order in? It removes the power of having to remember all of this stuff. And that way it just gets done.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. We talked about this last time and I'm curious what your take is going to be. A lot of a client success, you, a set of client account managers, right? In digital agency space. He owns a digital agency, very successful in the trades. One of the things that you work with, client facing is account managers, right? But yeah. You call them client success strategist.
Yep.
I wanna talk because it's important for our audience here. What do the contractors need to do, right, for them to be successful when they hire a digital agency? What are the things they need to do on their end, and what are the things they should look for when hiring a digital agency?
Yeah, this is a great question, and this does come up a lot, and I'm sure that my sales team gets this even more than I realize. From a perspective, one, it's important. If I'm going to go the digital agency side, because I think a lot of times account managers and that term has like a negative connotation in contractors' minds because they're like, it's just an order taker. So as digital agency owners, if you're listening to this, focus on training your team on strategy. So when I was the account manager, I wanted to make sure my team was well-trained. So we, 3 days a week, I trained them on strategy. I trained them on outbound campaigns, what to look for, booking metrics, just seasonalities of the trades and the different types of jobs that are profitable versus not profitable, just all sorts of things. And we continue that to this day. I don't do a lot of the training anymore, but train your team like your life depends on it. And I took that from the trades, like, because we did that with our technicians and our CSRs. We trained technicians twice a week. One was, I wish we would have done Technical Tuesday, but it was Technical Friday. It doesn't really resonate and roll off the tongue as well. But we did technical training on Friday, and we did customer service training on Tuesday. So we would literally walk through the play, and we do role-playing for our account managers. When an objection comes up, we ask questions. We try to get to the bottom of it so we can actually give a real answer and make sure that the contractor is heard. That's the biggest thing, because I think the thing that happens with account managers and contractors is they butt heads. Hey, this isn't done. Account manager says, yeah, it isn't. You didn't reply to me. And it's just this back and forth. And it's very combative versus consultative, where we're actually trying to solve a problem together. And again, it's a partnership. So if you have people button heads because it's a he said, she said type of thing, it doesn't work. Let's figure out what the root cause of the problem is. And let's come up with a way to fix that. We don't understand what the root cause is. And someone says, well, we're slow. Well, okay, it feels like an attack on the marketing company if we say we're slow, right? Because they're telling us they're slow. We're supposed to get them leads. But maybe there's something else going on in their business. Maybe there's something else going on in their life. And we need to understand what that looks like. So we do a lot of training now. And of course, the strategy training. On the contractor side, biggest thing is to show up for your meetings. Now, I get it. If you're with an agency that you're not liking and you feel like you're just showing up and nothing, you're not talking strategy, that's probably tough. But then you need to say something. Don't ghost the agency. They are just like you, want to get better. So if we have that communication and just say, hey, I get no for these calls. Tell someone that, because then someone can do something about it. And they may not know that you're not getting value out of these calls. And then I also think everyone needs to focus on, instead of like clicks and impressions and keyword rankings, which are great to share, we need to all focus on metrics that move the needle. Booked jobs, qualified leads, revenue, you know, things like that, that actually are going to move the needle. And if we're talking all about the same thing, because we know as an agency, clicks and impressions usually mean, like, especially if they start going up, that means more traffic is coming, more leads are coming.
Yeah.
But contractors don't care about what's coming. They care about what they got today or what they got last week. And so we need to focus on those sorts of metrics. And there's ways to do that with reporting tools out now. We use Searchlight. Searchlight, anyone that can get Searchlight. They don't integrate with all CRMs, but they integrate with a lot. So I would check them out and see if your CRM integrates with them as an opportunity for yourself, because it gives you booking rate, average tickets, conversion method by different sources like web chat, form fill, phone call. You get a lot of really good data there.
Yeah. And one of the things that we are trying to implement for our agency, right? And it's important to for the contractor in this, is that we're trying to integrate all of our systems with their CRM, right? Because basically what that does, it aligns marketing and sales together, right? Because in sales, that's where the CRM information is stored. And marketing, with the information we're doing, it aligns to see where the sales are coming from, right? Can you talk about that? Do you guys do that for your agency? And how important is that? Because for me, it's pretty important for our clients.
Yeah, we know which field management softwares or CRMs work with all the tools that we have and which don't. And we're pretty upfront about that. Like if they don't have an API connection, we can't do certain things because we generally, it's not that we won't work with those people. We just need to, like, getting these metrics are going to be a lot harder. But we also try to coach them. And a lot of that's where my content stuff, I try to coach the industry on like, what metrics should you be looking at? Cause a lot of people come into calls and they've been told so many different things. They don't know what they should focus on. And if they just focus on things like your CSR booking rate, your tech conversion rate, and your average ticket, and just did that every day, those three things, just focus on those three numbers, your business will grow and it will become more profitable without a whole lot of extra work. Now, there's obviously other metrics that are important, but those three will dictate if you're successful or not. And those are the three big ones that most of these big contractors will put a heavy emphasis on. They put a lot of training into that and a lot of time and effort because they know those things are important. The problem is most companies don't, they look at the CSRs like, well, all you do is answer the phone. Like, how hard is that? It's not that simple. There's a lot of competition out there and you have to make the customer feel, the homeowner feel confident in your company. And if you're answering the phone, hello, which I've heard more than I have. Yeah. It's my favorite. Yeah. What are you talking to a friend? You're like, who is this? Who did I call?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to help me? Or they give an answer and they don't ask for a booking opportunity. Like, yeah, we can do that. Okay. Would Tuesday or Friday work better for you? Like, get them further. There's just a process to it. So just answering the phone is different than actually being good at booking opportunities.
Yeah. So that was going to be my next question. What are the top two or three operational fixes that a contractor should do before they hire an agency? But those are the things that I guess you kind of answered that before, right? Those are the things you would recommend, those two things?
Yeah, I would say make sure your pricing's right too. That goes with average ticket, but it's not as obvious because average ticket, you could be selling big tickets and kind of gloss over that. But just make sure your pricing's right. And usually that you need some sort of a coach or a financial person to help you understand what your actual overhead costs are to do that. It's not as simple like, well, so-and-so down this charging. My favorite is the Freon conversation. What are you charging for a pound of Freon? And then everyone comments. And I'm like, first, you're in completely different markets. You're completely different size businesses. And who cares what anyone else is charging? What do you need to make a profit? That's the question you have to answer. just because someone's charging $80 a pound doesn't mean you should charge 80. You might need to charge 280 in order to turn a profit, because you may have overhead, you may have more trucks, you may have a bigger building, you may be spending on marketing. So there's just a lot of things that go into that. So having a coach that really is financials, or a financial analyst, or a CFO, someone like that, even if it's part-time or a fractional thing, can be really helpful to figure out your pricing.
Yeah. What if I was an HVAC owner, right? And if I'm hiring an agency, how would I hold my agency accountable? What are the things I should be looking for if I own it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, you need leads. You should see at least you see ranking improvements. I know it's not, again, we talked about, it's not the most important metric, but as like a checkbox for yourself, just a mental checkbox so you can stop thinking about it, this should be going up and to the right. And if it's not, I should ask questions. And then as far as like, I didn't really get into this, like what things you should be on the lookout for agencies. One, you should own everything, meaning the contractor should own everything if they leave. Website. Personally, I'm of the belief that ad accounts and all that stuff should be owned by the contractor. I know some people have certain reasons why they don't do that, but it sucks hearing somebody come to you and make a switch, and then we have to build a website in a super short period of time because they're going to completely lose it when they leave this other company. And there's multiple companies out there that you lose the website.
Multiple big companies.
It's not just one, multiple. Yeah. And I never understand why they did that. Maybe I'm either too slow, just not understanding why would I want to keep someone's website from them if they already paid me. But there must be for it strategically, but I think it's terrible business practice. Give the stuff to the client. Anything we create for them is theirs. If they want to keep, like, we create a call reel account for them. If they want to keep that afterwards so they have their historical data, cool. You just pay for your own account. We'll transfer it. Just, I don't know, just be a good human. Like, I don't think it's that hard, but sometimes it seems to be more challenging for other people. But those are the things you should be asking about early on in the process. Let's say I know nobody goes to a relationship thinking it's not going to work out, but you should ask the questions just in case, so that way you have a peace of mind.
Got it. And if I was a contractor 6 months in, what are things I'd be looking for to the agency? And also 12 months in, what if I was a contractor, what are the things I should be looking for 12 months in if I was a contractor?
Well, by then, especially if someone's managing your Google Business profile, you should see some growth there at that point. The website should be launched unless for some reason there was some sort of delay. And so you should start seeing some growth from that. And then, of course, if there's implementing some outbound strategies, you should definitely be seeing some opportunities from that. You should be seeing maybe some more reviews come in, which should help bump LSA and maps. Mm-hmm. So all of that stuff kind of grows together. Now, the organic stuff on SEO, it's still going to take a while. Like, I know people want maps moves a lot faster. Like, maps, you can generally get some movement by month two or three. Website. It's generally more like you start seeing some results, but generally that's more like Google's paying attention to it, which I know they just changed the parameter for us to be able to see the top 100 results last week. But yeah, you should start seeing stuff start populate in those first 10 pages of results. And those keywords should not just be blog posts. I think a lot of times, and obviously I don't dig into it too far, but they show these nice trends where it's up and to the right. And then you go look at their account, you're like, it's 80% blog content that's doing that. Blog content is great it's kind of the site as a whole and giving it authority and topical authority, which kind of it's that we use to show that you're the expert in your trade. Mm. But I'm in Arizona and you're in, remind me again?
Miami.
Yeah. You could see my blog post and you're not going to hire me locally. So it's a way is what I'm getting at. So all the services need to be dialed in. You should have location pages for every single city that you serve and town. It's crazy to me that there's like towns and cities with 2,000 people that people just totally overlook. It is so easy to rank in those towns and cities. And if you add up ranking in that one, ranking in the next small town and another small town, all of a sudden you're getting all these little improvements and you're able to, and you rank because there's nobody else targeting those cities. It's not difficult. You got to find the little nooks and crannies in your market, and there almost always are some. Things like that are things I would look for. Like, what is their strategy? Because there's some big marketing companies that do like I'll give you three cities or five cities, and I'm like, which contractor in the only serves five cities? I don't know of any. They almost all serve to 20, 30, 40, 50 cities or more. So have someone that's going to build out the right pages on your website, which are service pages and location pages. And by location pages, I mean all of them, every city, not just a few.
Yeah.
And then you can get into the blog content stuff. So if you're looking at a keyword report, make sure the keywords are things like either near me keywords or city service type keywords like Queen Creek plumber, AC repair, Queen Creek. I'm in the Queen Creek area. Things like that. Because a lot of times I go into these reports and there's thousands and thousands of blog keywords. And I'm like, where are all the local keywords that they actually can get business from? And they're just not to be found.
Yeah.
I hope that answers. How do you that was a really long way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. How do you think AI is going to impact SEO? Local SEO too.
I actually have a really, it's not completely finished yet. So I hired an SEO virtual assistant. They're full-time with us to do a research study on what sites are being sourced for our clients. So we got about 150 clients. Each of them, we're tracking 10 to 15 different local keywords. Usually we track the highest volume keywords, AC repair, plumber, those sorts of things. We don't track the ones that are like this long, but I had him take all of those keywords in ChatGPT, Perplexity, and then AI overview or AI mode for Google and write down because it gives the source information inside those results now, what sites are being sourced. And so we have like thousands of keywords tracked. And I was just looking at it the other day, and it is crazy how different the information from ChatGPT and Google are. ChatGPT gives you sources that Google never pulls up. Now, it doesn't mean they're not important on Google. It's just Google doesn't put them as relevant when they pull in the results. But it is pretty crazy. A lot of ChatGPT cites a lot of or sources a lot of sites never heard of. Best Pros in Town, airconditioningup.com. Like, I've never heard of these sites before, but hundreds of mentions. And the reason is because they all have top 10 lists, best of Phoenix, Arizona, and they have it for all these markets. So all of these really obscure directory and citation sites, I think, are going to become very relevant, which is interesting because directories and citations, being a marketing person yourself, like the last 5 years, it's dwindled. Like, it's like, yeah, it's important. We do it. It's not that important, but we do it. Now it's like back to being important again and trying to figure out how are we going to combat this, because Yext and all those different things out there, they don't have a way to add to these sites. So it's manual work and trying to figure out what that looks like. So I'll have some research done on that and a study done soon, and I'll probably put out a video with some results and some interesting takes.
Excited to see that. Curious to see about that.
It's been a while.
It's
taken us probably like 6 to 7 weeks just to get this far, and we got about 15 clients to go. So,
and how are you adjusting our clients? Like, I want to start ranking on ChatGPT. I want to start doing geo SEO. How's that conversation going? I'm just curious. And how has that impacted for local business, for HVAC and plumbing companies?
Yeah, I mean, we do get asked that, not as much as you'd think, but we do get asked that. And that's why, you know, some of the things that we can't do for clients, like getting reviews on other sources. For instance, Bing, which has been tied in with ChatGPT, shows Facebook reviews for local companies. Well, most people don't ask for Facebook reviews anymore. You know, things like that. Yelp pops up on a lot of these different platforms. I know most people love Yelp, but it is important because it shows up. Google loves Yelp. So things like that are important. They trust those sites. And in order for us to win the game, which is being shown up in search, we have to kind of play the game and we have to be where they want. I've noticed BBB accreditation has become more important again. I was just talking with someone this morning about that. Cause like, I don't see anyone getting BBB credit. I'm like, I see it all the time when I look on local results. Subreddit communities are becoming much more of a thing. That's more major metros right now, but I've seen where they pull, especially if your company is listed with information about them, they pull it right into the snippet on ChatGPT. And that's the type of information they're looking for. So honestly, I would treat Reddit and subreddit, I have to learn how to use it because it's not the same as Facebook groups, but have someone internally, a marketing coordinator, VA, just monitor those groups for you. And anytime that someone's asking about a service that you offer, have them put your name down and maybe a testimonial or a review or a sort of a review or something. You can automate that with Reddit too. You can look for keywords inside of Reddit communities because you can do that through Zapier. And it's not something that an agency can do for you, because it would take a lot of work to do all that, to know which subreddit communities are in and what keywords they want to target. But there's ways to make this information come right to your email, click on the link, go right to the post, comment, go about your day.
Yeah, awesome. Looking ahead, how do you see AI and automation reshaping the contracting space the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I think there's so many new software technologies out there. So contractors now have a tech stack that's 10, 15, 20 or more different softwares. They don't all talk to each other. And I think it really becomes important, so that way we can take data from one place, move it to another, or we take reviews and we shout out our team in a Slack channel. Or just, there's so many different ways you can connect data together to make your company more efficient. And with all of the pricing increases we've seen from COVID with materials, HVAC's had a bunch with new equipment, new refrigerant changes, and we're starting to get some pushback where homeowners are not spending $20,000 on a system anymore. So the only way we can continue to make a profit is if we lower our overhead and become more efficient. Becoming more efficient means we have to have less people to do the same amount or more things, which technology is supposed to help us with. But only if technology A talks to technology B, which talks to technology C, and so on. And that's through automation and tools like Zapier, Make.com. If you're really a nerd, get into N8N. We're still trying to figure that one out because that's more of a lot more development and code one. But there's tools out there that can help you. And there's people out there that can help you.
Yeah. So where do people find you? I know you have an event coming up. Let's talk about specifically about automation and AI, right? Correct?
Yeah, that's in Savannah. Month? That's in like a week and a half, Savannah, Georgia.
Nice.
We're part of the fun of, like, you know, there's usually like a theme or like a concert or something is Savannah Banana VIP tickets. We're renting out the box, see the Savannah Bananas play. I think it's like their championship game or something. That's going to be a lot of fun. If you look at it from a business perspective, they have done everything completely opposite of every other sports organization, and they are thriving because of it. And they're selling out football stadiums for baseball games. Baseball games have trouble selling out baseball stadiums, unless you're a good team or you have a really great market. So it's really cool to see. But we got a lot of really good speakers. We got Marcus Sheridan, who you may know. They Ask, You Answer. His new book, Endless Customers, is fantastic. It's all about answering the questions that people are, other competitors are afraid to answer, because the pricing is a big one in the trades. Mm-hmm. So we had a podcast with him, and it was, every person I sent it to was like, oh, I got to do this. Like, it was immediate. Like, I've told them this and they don't believe me. Marcus says it and they're like, yeah, I got to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to have him. We're going to talk all about AI and automation. We're going to have automations that are built before you leave. Like, you'll be able to build them with us with your laptop and have them publish and live before you leave. So it's really kind of the only event I've ever seen that actually has, like, you're going to come and you're going to walk away with something that's built and it's live in your business that's going to save you time.
Awesome.
So super excited to see how that plays out. But this is our first year, so I'm sure there'll be some hiccups and bugs along the way, but we're excited about
it. Awesome. Where do people find you?
Probably the best place. That's where I spend more of my time putting content out and stuff. And then my team kind of shoots it out everywhere. But Facebook is probably the easiest way. Just I think it's Joshua E. Crouch is my URL, because there's a Crouch that's a minor league baseball player that I can't get that name. So I had to add my middle initial in there.
Yeah. Joshua, it was awesome talking to you, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you for coming on.
Appreciate the time today.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.